Hey listeners, before we get to this episode of Problem Solvers, here is a word from our sponsor. Small business can mean small budgets, and that makes it difficult to tackle big projects like building and maintaining IT systems. How can you do this on a budget while still delivering agility, security, and a great experience? Cisco has some great answers, and I want to share three of them with you here. So number one, when deciding between on-premises or cloud-based networking, there are many things to consider. Some small businesses prefer to maintain their own equipment, while others are drawn to cloud for its automation and ease of management. So shop around and see what's right for you. Security is top of mind for everyone. That is number two, especially small businesses that might not have the people or bandwidth to monitor the network as closely as they'd like. For that reason, it is key to look for security features that offer automation and are easy to deploy and use. And number three, businesses that don't think they can afford to make an upfront investment in technology might want to ask about leasing and financing options. There are many easy ways to spread your payments out over time. Want to learn more? Visit cisco.com/go/smb to discover their current promotions and free trials and explore the small business portfolio. Again, that is cisco.com/go/smb. And now, on with the show. From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Jesse Wolf had this fun idea. He wanted to build the Ben & Jerry's of hummus. Because, you know, hummus can be pretty plain. And sure, you can dress it up with pine nuts or garlic or... I got a little lost there. But what if you make it with buffalo wings? I mean, not the wings, but the flavor. Buffalo wing hummus. Now you're starting to raise eyebrows. So Jesse creates this brand. He calls it Odang Hummus. He starts selling it at farmers markets and is totally killing it. He hires people, he gets investors, he takes it onto Shark Tank and gets some offers from the sharks. But the one thing Jesse cannot do, no matter how hard he tries, is get it onto actual retail shelves. Stores keep taking his meetings, and for years and years, they just keep saying no.
They would look at our product and they'd go, yeah, this is cool. We like your branding. We like what you're doing. But the case is full. And the problem was, Sabra was doing so well, and some of the bigger competitors that were already competing against Sabra that were way further ahead of us were doing really well. So, you know, the buyers are like, we like you, but like our case is only so big. It's only 6 feet. We can't disrupt all these brands that are doing really well to take a gamble on a brand we don't know.
And what are you supposed to do in this situation? You know, shelf space is tight and Sabra basically owns it. The retailers have no incentive to start screwing with what works. So here's what Jesse did. He gathered everyone into a room from his company and he said, we are no longer selling hummus. I have a better idea. And here it is, salad dressings. And that went about as well as you could expect it to.
We had the whole room kind of up in arms about, you sold us on this hummus, especially the investors. They're like, we bought a hummus company. You know, we're invested in a hummus company. We bought the hummus dream. I don't understand.
Jesse originally had a vision for a hummus company. He had gotten tons of people on board with that vision, and now he was moving away from that vision and everyone else was left to defend it. That is not an easy situation. But here's what you need to know. Jesse did not pull salad dressings out of thin air. He had made a strategic, very calculated pivot. A pivot that was built upon everything else he'd already created. A pivot that relied upon a smart understanding of his marketplace and what white space he could fill. It was a pivot that took advantage of all the relationships he'd already made through hummus. And so far, it seems it was a pivot that worked. What do you do when you can't break into a category? When the space is just too crowded and nobody will give you a chance? You do what Jesse did, and you find a sneaky way in. That is what we're going to talk about today on Problem Solvers. It is the story of how Odang Hummus made its way onto store shelves, but not in a way that you'd expect. And by the way, we are not talking about just a few store shelves here. Jesse went from almost zero shelves a few years ago to...
We had set for 2019 for Odang to hit 6,000 retailers by the end of this year. And middle of July, we just surpassed 10,000 retailers. So... our hockey stick this year has just been insane.
Yeah, not a bad pivot. We'll get into it all right after the break. You know that business is hard, that anything can be hard, and that solutions come by learning from the smartest, wisest people. It's why you listen to this podcast, and that is also what you get when you sign up for Masterclass. Masterclass offers exclusive access to online courses taught by masters of their craft. Learn business leadership from Howard Schultz, economics from Paul Krugman, writing from Malcolm Gladwell, and dozens more. I really love the advice in the Gladwell session. He offers very, very valuable wisdom. Like, one of my favorites is that he says, you should be able to write at an eighth grade level, but with ideas that are super sophisticated. Man, I wish someone had told me that at the beginning of my writing career. I spent so much time trying to impress people with my wordsmithing rather than with my ideas. You know, writing is about communication, not about showing off. This is the kind of clarity you find with Masterclass. And now you can have unlimited access to every Masterclass. And as a Problem Solvers listener, you get $30 off. Just go to masterclass.com/problemsolvers for $30 off your first year of the All Access Pass. That's masterclass.com/problemsolvers for unlimited access to Masterclass at $30 off. masterclass.com/problemsolvers. And now, our next sponsor. If you were driving along I-649 north of Minneapolis or I-25 north of Denver in the past few weeks, you would have seen something awesome. It was a billboard advertising this podcast right here, Problem Solvers. What? It was happening thanks to Blip Billboards, a company that enables anyone to pay per display on digital billboards around the country. The displays, which are called blips, last about 10 seconds and go for just a few cents each. I wanted to give it a go, so Blip put me through their system. And I gotta say, it was super easy. I filled out a little form, and then they designed a billboard for me in literal minutes, and then I just made some decisions. Where do I advertise? I pick those locations at random. How much do I spend per day? I picked $20. And when do I advertise? I picked rush hour. And boom, I was on the highway. Now I get daily reports on my spend, estimated total impressions, and more. And I gotta say, the idea of being on a billboard is just fun and definitely different. So, want to join me on the billboards? Try Blip Billboards today to make a literal big impression without breaking the budget. And for listeners of Problem Solvers, you can sign up for a free account and get a $25 credit. Just go to blipbillboards.com/problemsolvers. Don't wait. Go to blipbillboards.com/problemsolvers. All right, we're back. So first of all, how does somebody get into the wacky hummus business in the first place? The answer is you have oral surgery.
I was a student at the University of Central Florida down here. And I went on Christmas break, like in my junior year, and I had my wisdom teeth pulled out. And I was laid up and really wanted buffalo wings. Obviously couldn't eat those because I had my wisdom teeth yanked out of my face. So I went to the store to find some like buffalo wing style dip or something, and it just didn't exist. So I was like, well, you know, hummus is delicious. You know, so I started eating hummus, and I'm like, what if someone made a buffalo wing hummus? I looked for it. It didn't exist.
So he made it himself. Then, after break was over, Jesse took a business plan writing class and proposed the idea of making the Ben & Jerry's of hummus, and everyone in the class just went crazy over it. This was in 2013, and Jesse thinks, huh, maybe I got something here. Now, here is something Jesse didn't know about the hummus marketplace at the time. Sabra, at that time, owned 60% of the American hummus market, but only 26% of Americans actually ate hummus regularly, and a quarter of Americans, which is 80 million people, have literally never even heard of it. That means the opportunity in hummus wasn't really to sway people away from other brands, it was to introduce people to the food in the first place. And that is how Sabra was thinking. I actually did a story about Sabra back in 2014 where I followed them to suburban Salt Lake City as they parked a truck and gave people their first ever taste of hummus. It was fascinating. Like, some people just had no idea what to make of it. So anyway, now you might appreciate the problem Jesse was going to run into. Hummus is not actually that big of a market in America, and it already has a major player and a few minor players, and they're all fighting for a slice, just a small slice of the total consumer. So now, Jesse, here he is with this goofy brand called Oh Dang Hummus, as in, you know, oh dang, that's good hummus. And that was going to be a tough sell. But Jesse knew none of that at first. And in fact, none of that even mattered at first, because he found his first consumer a different way.
And when we started selling local farmers markets, and it took off. You know, and again, we weren't really competing directly with Sabra for shelf space. So I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. You know, we'll just keep building it, and, you know, eventually a grocery store will take notice.
And some grocery stores did take notice, but the meetings just went nowhere. The answers were always the same, as you'd heard earlier. People were like, yeah, good product, but I just don't have the shelf space. But that doesn't mean the farmers markets were leading him astray. First of all, the sales there helped Jesse scale up. He learned about manufacturing, had money to pay people, built a brand, raised some money, and also, very critically, he was right there in front of his consumers at the farmers market, and they were giving him feedback right to his face, which is super valuable, often in ways an entrepreneur cannot even anticipate.
The one thing we kept hearing was, man, I put this stuff on my salads, I put this on my sandwiches, you know, whatever. They were telling us all the uses. And I kept hearing salads, and I kept hearing salads. And then I started eating with salads. And I'm like, well, this is kind of terrible because it just balls up the lettuce. It's not thin enough. It's not a salad dressing. So I was toying with this idea of like a hummus salad dressing. And I would make, you know, a small run, you know, 15, 20 bottles. And I'd take them to farmers markets and I'd get feedback from people. And I got a really positive reaction. People were loving them.
And now he had this little side project. And at first, Jesse thinks, okay, perfect. This salad dressing will be like a legitimizer for our brand. Now, when we go to supermarkets to sell them on hummus, we can show them the salad dressing as an example of what our brand might do next. As in like, hey, I'm not just some kid in a farmer's market. I'm the founder of a big thinking food brand and we make products. Here is our next one. In 2015, Jesse even gets invited onto Shark Tank and he just brings that same strategy along with him. He talks about the hummus, talks about the hummus, talks about the hummus, and then, just to add a sense of ambition, he shows off the salad dressings, like as an aside.
This is a hummus salad dressing. So these are really cool. They're actually going to be bottled, which means they're shelf stable for 2 years. So yeah, hummus, yep, this is a ranch on ranch. This is our buffalo wing dressing. And then this is our honey mustard, our take of a honey mustard. Yeah, so you're more than welcome to try that. And what's great about those salad dressings, not only are they shelf stable.
That's really good.
Are you ready for this?
Is it going to blow my mind?
Free. Yeah, oil free. What? And we've showed them to big retailers and they are going nuts over them.
The sharks are totally curious about these salad dressings. In fact, Jesse gets multiple offers for investment, though as is often the case on shows like Shark Tank, the money doesn't actually come through in the end. But anyway, Jesse's encouraged. He continues on this path of selling hummus with the salad dressings as an added bonus. Then in 2016, he gets a meeting with the grocery chain Publix. And once again, what does he do? He brings the salad dressings as like a meeting dressing.
So what happened was they basically said, we're good on the hummus. What's the deal with those salad dressings? And I was like, yeah, we can have a meeting about those.
So then they have a meeting about the salad dressings and Publix likes them. They pick them up for 400 stores, which to be clear means that Jesse's main product, hummus, is on zero store shelves, but his side project is now on 400 store shelves. And as he talked to other retailers, they also showed more interest in the salad dressings. It just kept coming up in meetings. Yeah, yeah, hummus, whatever. But what about those dressings? What was going on here? Jesse thought about it and realized he'd stumbled into a potentially big opportunity. The thing is, hummus is a small and well-served category, but salad dressings are an old, enormous category without a lot of innovation. There's actually room to bring something new there. And because he came from a hummus background, he was able to look at salad dressings from an entirely new angle.
Well, our product is naturally low calorie, like hummus. So if you eat a tub of hummus, it's 50, 60 calories. If you eat a couple tablespoons of ranch dressing, it's 200 calories. Well, we basically brought the calories for hummus into salad dressings. So we're not a low fat or diet dressing. We're a full flavor dressing that just happens to be accidentally low calorie. And that was its own unique category.
We talk a lot about product market fit in this show and in entrepreneurship in general. And this is what it looks like. You've got a product, but you also need a marketplace that values that product. You need to solve a problem. And Jesse was just starting to discover the real problem he was suited to solve. It wasn't hummus. It was salad. So just to be sure, he decided to run an experiment.
I said quietly to my vice president of sales at the time, I said, listen, we have no problem getting a meeting for these dressings. I was like, so me and you, let's not tell anybody else, the next 30 days, don't send one email out about hummus. focus only on salad dressings. Me and you, that's all we'll do. And we did that, and we tested the waters, and all of a sudden we got 3 or 4 emails back saying, hey, let's have a meeting about these dressings. These are cool. Now, the dressings are not sold in the hummus set. They're sold in the salad dressing set, which no hummus company played in. So we got a lot of traction in those 30 days. And I said, okay, that was awesome. We're kind of sneaking under the radar in essence. So I said, let's go 60 days, just dressings. And we did another 60 days and we got Walmart interested in those 60 days. And I was like, okay, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah, seems like they're onto something there. So this is where Jesse decides to gather everyone up and tell them it is time to ditch hummus. We're moving into salad dressings. All resources are going to salad dressings. And at the beginning of this episode, I said that, you know, this is a pretty tricky thing to do. After all, Jesse was abandoning his original vision for the company. So it's worth hearing how that played out because it is the absolute epitome of what it means to embrace change and survive.
This is tough because you had started with this vision of the Ben & Jerry's of hummus. So this was originally your vision. You had gotten a whole bunch of people on board with your vision. Then you had managed, you had somehow then managed to kind of separate yourself from your vision because you started to see the business opportunity elsewhere. But now, weirdly, you have to now try to talk everybody out of your original vision.
Accurate. Yes. 100. And that's, it's almost like you were sitting in the boardroom that day. That's exactly what the conversation was. I mean, from everybody from my finance department, I mean, we sat everybody down because I wanted everybody's input. A couple part-time kids that helped us fill boxes with orders. I wanted everybody in the room. And that's exactly what they said. They go, your vision is to be the Ben & Jerry's of hummus. And I said, we're still the Ben & Jerry's of hummus. We're still going to do things different. We're still going to be ourselves. But our mission from day one was to make really healthy, dang good tasting food accessible for everybody. And I said, we're still on that warpath. And the dressings are the way for us to scale this business to a point where then we can go back. And eventually, if we want to do hummus, do hummus. But right now, we're going to go out of business if we keep throwing money and resources at something that's just not cracking.
So a couple really important points there. One, he made it clear. If we don't change, we are going to die. You cannot just keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. And two, and also very critically, he redefined what the mission was. It wasn't just to make hummus. It was to make great, accessible food. And anyway, it's still hummus. The salad dressings are made of hummus, just in a different form than Sabra does it. And frankly, what's more Ben & Jerry's of hummus than making hummus that doesn't even look like hummus? Come on, this isn't a new company. It's a new way of thinking about the same company. And that's a really important framing. Because remember, Jesse needs this team. He needs them to believe in him and to hold on to the same passion that led them to join him in the first place. He needs everyone to understand their purpose here. And that's what that speech was about. Eventually, everyone bought in. It took a few days and a lot of conversations, but it happened. And then it was time to get to work. Manufacturing processes needed to change. They needed a different co-packer, and it was time to hit the sales game hard.
Me and my sales team went to work, and we gave directions to start going back to every retailer we called for hummus over the last 2 years, and let's tell them we have a new hummus dressing product that they had not seen or heard about.
In the summer of 2017, a few months after the shift, they got their first huge break. Walmart, as you'll remember, Jesse had already teed them up, they came through with an order for 2,500 stores. More retailers kept coming. Odang Hummus closed out 2018 with 4,500 stores. And by the way, Jesse decided to do something sneaky during this time. He was still going to trade shows alongside all his hummus competitors, and he didn't let on to anyone that this shift was happening. To the food industry world, he was still selling hummus. His tables at the trade show were still hummus-focused with, you know, this silly salad dressing thing off to the side, just like it always was.
They thought we were kind of still struggling and they were kind of waiting for us to collapse. And we really weren't showing a lot of our successes through media on the dressing. We let it grow quietly for 8 months. I mean, just steamroll until people are like, oh my God, you're in this store? You're in this store?
And that was because he didn't want to tip any of his competitors off to this new white space he discovered. It would have been a disaster if Sabra, for example, had caught wind of what he was doing and then quickly rolled out its own line of salad dressings made of hummus. So Jesse just did this quietly until he'd locked in as much retail space as he possibly could. At that point, he had first mover advantage. And that's what he got. So that's how Jesse pivoted. Though you'll notice that one thing didn't change. His company is still called Odang Hummus. That is the official name, those two words, Odang, O apostrophe dang, hummus. The label on his salad dressings even say it, Odang hummus. And it's true, the salad dressings are made from hummus, right? But Odang is not a hummus company the way that we might think of a hummus company, like Sabra is. So what's up with that? Well, one thing is that Jesse just didn't feel like the change was necessary at the time. Also, he had surveyed his customers at the farmer's market, and they all liked the word there. And like I said, he didn't want to tip off competitors. But now that Jesse has moved on to salad dressings, he's having all these other really interesting conversations with retailers about other places in the store that he could play in. And it's starting to get him to think differently about what exactly Odang could be and whether that word hummus should even remain on the label. So he's got some big plans. He can't say what they are yet, can't tip off the competition, but the way that Jesse is talking, I would say you could expect to see Odang pop up somewhere else in the supermarket where you might least expect it. And what happens after that is...
we're not exactly sure. You know, we're not exactly sure if we'll stay Odang hummus or if we'll just be Odang. That's kind of a really cool talking point right now we're going through. And, you know, it's scary, right? Because, like, this is my baby. You know, I built this thing literally with my bare hands and a couple food processors. And here we are today. But, you know, I'm open to hearing out everybody's opinions and suggestions, customers, investors, you name it. And I love the feedback because I want to do what's in best interest for the business.
Making changes, disrupting your own vision, finding a new way to stay true to yourself. Oh, dang, that's good business. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.